Yes, you are listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO on this Monday, July the 10th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. We therefore look at the lessons for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. The Old Testament reading talks about as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven, and it gives seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall be my word that goes out from my mouth. Epistle is Romans chapter 8, but in a three-year reading system, which we're following, the first reading from the Old Testament, Isaiah 55, is always in sync with the third reading from the Holy Gospel, which is Matthew 13. And sure enough, what we find in Matthew 13 that we are going to be speaking about today is a well-known parable, but I'm not sure how well-known is the meaning of this parable. Let me first of all talk about parables. A parable is an extended metaphor or a simile or an analogy of what heaven is like. But we're not talking about the heaven that we're going to after we die. We're talking about the heaven we're living in right now, the kingdom of heaven or the holy Christian church. It's clear that when we get to heaven, there isn't going to be a farmer sowing the word and some of it is going to be coming back empty. No, that's not what heaven's going to be like after judgment day. But the heaven we're talking about is a heaven that occurs right here on earth. This is one of the few parables where Jesus actually explains what he means. My description of a parable is whatever a parable is talking about is not what a parable is talking about. What? How does that make any sense? Well, you need to understand, parables, as I said, are analogies or metaphors about the kingdom of God. And so whatever the metaphor is about is not really what it's talking about. For example, when you have fishing as part of a parable, God is not giving you instructions how to fish. He's instead making the point, just as he does with sheep and shepherds. He's not telling how shepherds should take care of sheep, but he's using the analogy of a shepherd and a sheep as to how Jesus took care of you, like the shepherd who goes out, finds the lost sheep, puts it on his shoulders, and carries it home. That's not about sheep. Really, it's about how God in the kingdom of heaven here on earth came, picked you up, put your sins on his shoulders, and carried them to the cross. So the first thing we need to recognize is whatever the parable is saying is not what the parable is talking about. For example, let's take a look at this parable from Matthew chapter 13. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, if you just leave that all by itself, what are you going to say is the problem that this parable is talking about? Certainly, the problem isn't the seed. But the problem is where the farmer throws it. And so you can almost end up saying, if you don't hear Jesus' explanation, that the problem in these parables are farmers, sowers. They're sowing the seed in the wrong area. Well, as many of you know, I'm working right now at Trinity Lutheran Church and Orchard Farm, which is surrounded by farms. And I look out the one window out of the church office, and corn is around 7 feet tall right now. Now, we are praying for rain because the farmers say they need rain. But when I look down, those rows are perfect. How did that happen? Well, the machinery that they use now have computers on them to have the seed sown in straight lines and properly. Now, I don't understand all this because when they harvest it, that computer is brought back into play and helps with the harvesting. You see, in Jesus' day, not only did they not have computers, but farmers would go out and throw seed down. And so it's not at all unusual that some of the seed would fall along the path where people walked. Well, that wasn't ready for planting. Or some seed would fall on rocky ground, or others among thorns. This wasn't the fault of the farmer. It wasn't the fault of the seed. Whose fault is it, therefore, that things didn't grow? So Jesus is taking a simple example from his day and age, and he is now going to give the meaning to the parable. And of course, he's not talking about how we ought to be farming. He doesn't begin by saying, so when a farmer goes out, he should make sure that he doesn't throw seed on rocky ground or on thorns or on the path. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Because the wind, I don't know if you've ever tried growing grass in some areas where you just throw the grass down. But unless you have a little machine that actually puts it down, if you're throwing grass, some of that seed may drift away by the wind into an area, may end up on your driveway. I guarantee grass will not grow on your driveway. So what is the point that Jesus is doing? Well, here's my second understanding of parables. I've already said it a little bit. Not only is a parable not talking about what it's talking about, but it is always talking about the kingdom of God here on earth, which is the Holy Christian Church. In other words, it's talking about how God operates in the Holy Christian Church in bringing people to faith. So, after saying the parable, in verse 18 of Matthew 13, Jesus begins with an understanding of the parable. He says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path." Oh, now we're seeing where the problem is. It's not in the seed. It's not in the farmer. Or else the problem would be pastors. The only time pastors become a problem is when they're not throwing down proper seed, but they're throwing down false seed. That is, teachings that are contrary to the Bible. Then they can become the problem. But this farmer is throwing down good seed. And the first point is that when anyone hears the word of God and does not understand it, now, why wouldn't somebody understand the word of God? Well, for the past few weeks, I've been making a theme at Trinity Orchard Farm that the Bible is full of apparent contradictions. For example, yesterday's sermon, we were talking about, guess what? How God keeps proper understanding away from the wise. And I said, well, that doesn't seem to make any sense, because if you go to the book of Proverbs, the wise are believers. Why would God keep the important knowledge of salvation away from believers? But the answer to that apparent contradiction is that the word wise is actually got two different meanings. There's the wisdom of the world, and there's the wisdom of the believer. And the wisdom of the world, it thinks that the teachings of Christianity are foolishness, folly, They because they're not rational. In fact, you know what the word for foolishness is in the original Greek? It's a word where we get moron from. It's a Greek word, and it's pronounced very close to morani. And in other words, anybody who listens to the Christian faith and believes that it's moronic, this is ridiculous. I mean, God sending his son to become a human being so he could die on the cross for my sins? The main point I was making in the sermon was the greatest folly that the world hears when it hears Christianity is that we are such horrible sinners, it took God himself to save us. Nothing we could contribute, nothing we could cooperate in. And people just don't believe that. They just don't agree with Paul that every time I try and do something, I do something bad. Nothing good within me dwells. People will argue with that. Yes, there are good things that dwell within me, which in and of itself is sin, because it contradicts the word of God. We have to understand that when Paul talks about nothing good within me, the me is not referring to the new man and the Holy Spirit, but to the old Adam and the flesh. It's very important. Romans 8 makes a big distinction between works of the flesh and works of the Spirit. That's what Paul's talking about. But the world will not accept that. It's moronic. It's foolish. And so they hear the word of God, but they don't understand it. So that when the evil one comes, and that's, of course, the birds, when the birds come and devour them, that's referring to Satan himself, and he snatches away what has been sown in the heart because they not only don't understand it, they don't believe it, they want nothing to do with it. So once more, we see the problem is not the seed, it's not the farmer. The problem is really the person receiving the word and refusing to understand it. How about the second one? It talks about other seed fell on rocky ground. They did not have much soil. And when the sun rose, they were scorched. Okay, what do these things mean? Jesus says in verse 20, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, endures for a while, and then what is it that in this soil, that is the thorns, what are they? When tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. How many people have Christian pastors been talking to who no longer believe in God because of something terrible that happened in their life? You see, they don't really believe in Christianity. They believe in a form of karma. What comes around goes around. You get what you deserve. And therefore, when something bad happens in your life and you don't believe you deserved it, then you just stop believing in God. So you may hear with joy, maybe when somebody talks about the forgiveness of sins is available to you, but not understanding that also assumes that you recognize you're a horrible sinner. Therefore, when persecution comes because of the word, boy, you have no root, and immediately you fall away. I think that's why a lot of people don't go to church. They don't go to church because they don't want to hear the gospel. I believe they don't go to church because they don't want to hear the law. I mean, how many people have walked out on a church when the word of God is preached or taught in such a way that it so upsets them that I'm not coming back to this church anymore? And that's really a shame. I mean, look at the many people who did that to Jesus. The next one, after, well, we've taken a look at the path, that doesn't help because there's no ground in the path to make the seed grow. Then we looked up at thorns. I'm sorry, not the thorns, but that was where they had no root. Then we finally get the third item. So the first one is a path, nothing can grow on it. Then there's rocky ground, and that rocky ground, of course, is the whole aspect of what? Tribulation or persecution. Then comes the thorns. And what are the thorns? This is one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Last night, just as I was going to bed, I like reading consumer reports to see what new fangled cooking gear is out there or this sort of thing. But they had an article, and I read it because as a pastor, it's one of the reasons why divorce occurs. It was all about money. For example, you might have a husband marries a wife, but the wife has debt of $100,000. Now, does that mean the husband is responsible? Now, legally, he's not, even if he marries her. But how are they going to take care of that debt? That can cause a lot of problem. The husband may say, wait, that's not my debt. I don't have to worry about that. Or you'll have a problem in the family where you have two children and the one child thinks that you're helping out the other child more than you're helping him out. Perhaps you're giving college money, this sort of thing, and he's not getting that. It was really kind of a fascinating article. They had about eight areas where money becomes a real problem in families. And so they were trying to resolve it, but of course there were no Christian resolutions to it because Consumer Reports isn't a ostensibly Christian magazine. They just try and use psychology and this sort of thing. And so some of the things they were talking about, I kind of laughed at. So they would solve the problems, but be that as it may, they're doing the best they can. At least they're pointing out how money can really become a problem. And this is what the thorns are. The cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Now, I'll tell you why. We've said this a number of times this last week, in fact, where we spoke about the difference between a good work and a fruit of the Holy Spirit. A good work is any good work outwardly done, and it looks very good. But a fruit of the Holy Spirit is not only outwardly done, it's inwardly done. In other words, it has the motivation of loving Jesus Christ. How many times do employees at work really make a difference in what they're doing when the boss is around? I worked at Chrysler, and it was an assembly line. And it was always interesting when one of the foremen was in the area, how much harder it appeared that the workers were working. Because they didn't want to get fired. They didn't want to get reprimanded. So why were they working harder? It was obvious that it was out of self-interest. Because as soon as the foreman would leave, they would go back to their old ways. So how many times do we do what apparently appears to be good works to everybody else, but we have a self-interest motivation behind it? It's what's in it for me. I mean, how many times do we say that to ourselves? So God recognizes that. And when our experience is filled with cares of the world or the deceitfulness of riches, guess what? It's really hard to have proper motivation in doing what you're doing because you're more concerned about whatever you're caring about or the riches so you don't leave them. I mean, how many of us look up to people who are wealthy? Even though that wealth may have come about buy a lottery ticket or maybe by getting it handed down through a will and testament, or maybe they did work hard. But just as in Jesus' day, people will look up to the Pharisees because they appear to be rich. They had sheep. They had money. And so people jumped to the conclusion that God was really blessing them. And then when we're not being blessed in the same way, we turn against God. This is really important, that Jesus uses a path that doesn't have dirt on it, rocky ground, and that's the one that really takes away through tribulation or persecution. And finally, thorns, which are the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Here's the point I'm making. Had Jesus not explained the parable, I doubt whether anybody would have come up with those three items as the extended metaphor of what Jesus was talking about. But it's important to do so, because the fault isn't in the sower. The fault isn't in the seed. The fault is in the hearer. And the fact of the matter is, we here at KFUO, we send this word out into the world. We're worldwide. You can go on the internet and hear us anywhere in the world. We have no idea which people are ready for the harvest. So we are kind of like that sower that throws the word out, and there are people who are going to reject the word. Why? Because they don't have ground to grow in, or they have rocky ground that really sends them away from the church during persecution, or they have thorns and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. All these things are quite possible. And yet, there is another category. It's verse 8. Matthew 13, other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Who are those? Verse 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, and he indeed bears fruit and yields 100-fold, 60, 30. What's Jesus talking about here? This is the person who is provided faith by the Holy Spirit and begins to understand the incomprehensible, begins to understand the irrational, begins to understand that which really doesn't make any sense. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all that God would become a human being, die on a cross, and somehow that means your sins are forgiven. But through faith, we trust that promise. And so we pray that wherever the word is sown, that people come to trust the promise of the word. So therefore, a path or thorns or whatever else does not stop them from believing. Path, rocky ground, or thorns. A pastor is not successful when many people come to faith, or Jesus was not much of a success. A pastor like Jesus is successful when the word of God is preached in its purity and the sacraments administered rightly. And then the Holy Spirit can take that word of God and create a sustaining faith. Notice very well that the yield does not come about until after proper faith is there. So works can never save you. They're only the evidence that you are growing through the power of the Holy Spirit in the proper faith and understanding of Christianity, and cling therefore to the word of God in such a way that you are joyous in hearing what the world considers to be folly, misunderstanding, and foolishness. That's the purpose of KFUO. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, Mark Smith will be back with us, and we're going to be taking a look at a hymn that summarizes this parable. Not many times you find a hymn that deals with the whole reading, but that's what we're going to do tomorrow with Pastor Mark Smith. So tune in at 9:30, ask your friends, and we'll be glad to be talking to you again in a little different way about the parable of the sower. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.